Yeah, I like that.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. So you said yesterday it was growing on you a little bit. A little more today, Hugh, even?
Yeah, I like it. I like this song. I like it a lot.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
What I can't deny is that it kind of gets stuck in your head.
It does get stuck in your head.
I think I found myself the one day like whistling it.
When
I was like walking around my apartment.
What? Like, wow.
Yeah. Just doing little cleaning stuff and, you know, and then I was whistling and I was like, ah, crap.
Would you like put it like on your headphones while you're walking around? Like,
I mean,
one of your workout songs?
Let's not get insane. Okay. You want me to work out to this yeah. song? I got to start working out first before I do that.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's so. Always the battle.
You can't be on the running playlist if you don't run.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, but talking a lot about the Eagles today, do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own, or do you think they've come back to the pack a little bit? I think they've come back to the pack, and that's not being a hater. That's not being negative. That's just being realistic. Mm-hmm. They've lost players on the defensive side of the ball. They lost their offensive coordinator, and I don't think we can just, you know, look at last season and look at the way it ended and say, okay, well, this season, the Eagles are just going to pick up where they left off. They're going to have to go out on the field. They're going to have to prove it again.
Oh, no, and there's no question about that. But I think that when a lot of people talk about being on a tier of their own, we talk about the defense and whether you feel good about that or not. I ask all those people that feel that way, how did you feel about the defense before last year, before you knew what it was going to be?
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of where I am, because the one staple and the one constant on this team, even though they did not start the season well, is the offense. When I look at this team, and this is how I look at it, and I look at the one thing that has the potential to be the most consistent in this situation, it's the offense. Because you're talking about a core group that has been together for at least 3 years, at least three. When you talk about, you know, working together and continuity and all this stuff. Now, the offense coordinators have changed a lot, but I think the core offense is still intact. Now you have to evolve that. You know, we were talking about how the offense has changed and all this other stuff. It's fundamentally the same thing. It's just the concepts might be a little bit different. And what I mean by that is we saw a lot more stemming from this offense last year. And what I mean by stemming, guys moving around. We didn't see that before in the previous offense.
Well, with Petullo, Hugh, I mean, how much does it help that he's been here? Like, obviously hasn't been in this role, mm-hmm. but for 4 years, how much do you think it helps the fact that he's been here and knows what has worked and what has not worked?
You know, it's funny. I remember having the same conversation where it feels like it when Coach Johnson was here.
Yeah.
And Jalen went to school with him. He knew his family and everything. And I was confident that that situation was going to be, you know, a success. It wasn't. So I'm going to walk a little timid on this one. I think that by having Petullo here, he probably understands a little bit more, okay, what Brian Johnson didn't, and is how to get the best out of Jalen. I think that's the most important thing, because to me, this team is going to go as Jalen goes, as it always does, but more so this year than any other, because there's been so much controversy about the quarterback play and what he is or what he isn't. So I feel like in order for this team to have the success that it needs, this offense can't sputter like it did in Brazil. You can't have those miscues that you had in the first couple of snaps where the ball got turned over and you put the defense on their heels and they emerged as the leading force behind this Super Bowl run. You know, and it's funny because going into last year, I would venture to say that a lot of people felt that the catalyst, the jumping off part for this team would have been the offense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you talk about A.J. Brown, you're talking about what Saquon could potentially be and all this other stuff. People looked at that offense and was like, okay, this offense is going to score, because even I thought it, 30 or 40 points a game. That was not necessarily the case. You know, the defense led the way. I feel like now, especially now, with so much scrutiny over the quarterback and the fact that A.J. has made it clear that the offense has to evolve and change, that those guys are a little bit hungry and they're going to do everything in their power to, when they do touch the rock, they're going to try to make some things happen.
Yeah, And it's going to be interesting to see how it works on that side of the ball. I want to know, do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own? I don't. I just think they need to prove it again this year. Every year is different in the NFL. We know that. And I think you look at the great teams, Patriots, Chiefs, those teams are the exception, man. Like, that is hard to do, and the Eagles are going to show they're able to do it. 215, or need to be able to show that they're able to do those things. 215-592-9494, if you want to get in. You want to get in on our Tri-Day as well, Tri-Day Friday. Bad movies today. Give us a bad movie to try. That is our Tri-Day Friday topic today. In a few minutes, we will get to some interesting reports regarding the Phillies as we lead up this trade deadline. Trade deadline now only 6 days away, so we are getting really close. What will the Phillies do? Some reports coming up in a few minutes here. But first, let's go back to the phones. Go to Brooks in Northeast Philly. What's up, Brooks?
Brooks.
Hello?
Yo, Brooks.
Hey. Hey, guys. What's up? You know what? I'm going to start with this here. How y'all doing? From the 30 to the goal line, Cooper DeJean is going to be in the defense. That means CJ GJ is not going to be getting burnt on the down and outs anymore. Defense is better. Ty Johnson. Subbing in for Davis. That's going to be a problem for defenses. We're not even really talking about that.
Robinson.
We're going to be better.
Ty Robinson.
The fourth round pick?
Yeah, the fourth round
you
pick.
You heard him.
Nebraska.
I'm sorry. Right, yeah.
It's going to be a problem.
It's going to be better, man.
The white rhino?
Yeah,
like the vanilla gorilla.
Vanilla gorilla.
Yeah, close. It was close.
Carter was talking about him like he's going to be something. And if our Pro Bowl defensive tackle said he's going to be something, I'm with it.
Yeah, but Brooks, to be honest, though, I remember when the Eagles drafted Broderick Bunkley and people were talking like
B-Bunk.
He was going to be.
I remember B-Bunk.
People were talking like he was going to be great. And yeah, B-Bunk wasn't a great D tackle.
How we got a system now, man? We got to get used to being rich, bro. Like, people that's rich, and, I'm not rich at all, but I can imagine people that's rich don't get tired of waking up and getting on that yacht every morning. I mean, we got to realize, man, we rich, man. We rich in how we got the blueprint. So, and another thing, I think our process is going to be better. Like, we acting like, remember when we was on Sweat? Oh, he can't get to the quarterback. He always falling. He always this and that. Now, all of a sudden, we lost a Pro Bowl Sweat. Like, I understand that Milton Williams was a good defensive tackle, but he was a rotational guy. Now he got to play every down.
Well, I mean, Milton Williams is a starter, Brooks. I mean, he was a starting defensive tackle on this team. He was good enough to get $100 million in free agency.
Sweat got $100 million, too. What are we talking about?
He got like 79, but still.
That's still a lot of money.
Okay, having to worry about eating like peanut butter and jelly anymore. So, bro, we got to realize that we are that team.
Tell him.
And we got the best GM.
I like peanut butter.
Yeah. GM.
But Brooks, but
what? I'd rather eat steak. Yeah, okay. But what I'm saying is, we're going to be the best, man. We are the best.
What are we talking
about? Team is Tom Brady. We may not have a Tom Brady quarterback, but our team is Tom Brady, meaning that our whole team and our culture, I'll take our whole team and our culture over any team in this league.
And Brooks,
that's what makes us the elite.
And I think they're going to be really good, too. But to say that they're unquestionably, the best team, it's going to be a dynasty, that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, man.
I'm not saying that. But to be in the top five, to start in the top five in the league every year, I want that. We deserve that. We've been waiting for this.
Yeah, they have them ranked number two.
I'm 50 years old, and I've been waiting for a GM that's not stupid.
You definitely have that, Brooks.
I've been waiting for this, man. I've been
100%,
waiting for it. We have a backup quarterback that's going to be a starter in this league.
The future. You heard him.
Brooks, what do you have for a Tri-Day Friday movie, man?
Oh, listen. In honor of our exciting whites being the best, that White Chicks movie is crazy, yo.
That's not a bad movie, though.
What movie?
White Chicks.
The only funny part, bro, is when he was saying, in the beginning of the movie, he was acting like the Mexican bull singing.
I know what you're talking about.
So I was trying to. I watched the rest of the movie and I was trying to capture that. Y'all got to do better.
You know what? You might be right, man. I need to go back and look one again.
I never saw
White Chicks.
No.
Hammer Time when they were in the bodega.
Okay.
And they had the hairline. He had to comb his hairline over whatever. Yeah.
That's the Wayans brothers, right?
Yeah. I remember it. He might be right about that. I think at the time it was funny because Terry Crews dancing and all the other stuff, but
Is that one of those movies you can't do anymore? I mean, you could probably do that.
No, you. Still. There are certain movies that you watch that when you watch them, you're like, okay. And then you ask yourself, could you watch it again?
Right.
You'd be like, nah.
Yeah.
I would probably say that's probably one of them. So that probably qualifies.
Okay. There you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Am I the only one who's kind of like a little off-put by the cockiness of the fan base? I feel like it's just out of control. Like, these are very reasonable things to say. Okay, we're not clearly far and away the number one team in football. Like, this is not controversial stuff. Everybody's just got to calm down a little bit. Not being a hater.
Cockiness of the fan base, to me, is expected. You know what I mean? That's what fans do.
I think it's earned.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. And that's why, for the most part, I tell people to live the truth. Because you're going to – our job is to sit here
– to ask questions.
And if we're asked for our opinion, we give it. And if it might not jive with somebody else, then we get called haters.
Yeah. Oh, get the hell out of here.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's Art. What we do on a day-to-day.
Art was certainly living his truth. I'd love to hear from Art today. I hope Art calls. 215-592-9494 if we want to get in. We'll get back to the Eagles in a minute here, but did want to touch on the Phillies with the trade deadline only 6 days away. I mean, we've talked about this for so long. It's really coming up soon here. And some interesting reports in terms of the Phillies the last couple of days. First, Bob Nightingale talking about the Phillies and linking them to an outfielder who I feel like they've been linked to for like 2 years now.
The Phillies are sold on him. They think he's okay. I can see him mulling more with the Phillies. And they're not crazy. They made some bad moves. I mean, when they signed Max Kepler, everybody in Minnesota laughed like, you're kidding me. He's going to have a terrible season. It's not going to work. It hasn't worked. So they're lukewarm on Luis Robert. And they're right up against the luxury tax, too. Where, you know, they already did it with Dave Robertson. They still want another reliever. So I don't think they want to give up, you know, much at all for any center fielder, let alone Robert. I think they'd rather plug that hole in and get one more bullpen arm. So they like Robert okay, but not as much as the Mets do.
So that's in regards to Luis Robert. I'd be really leery of Luis Robert. Very streaky. Had a bad year last year. Not having a great year this year. He's hit better as of late. But that's a guy I'm not that enthusiastic about.
I mean, but I think we were talking about this the other day, weren't we, Kyle? If push come to shove, we would probably have to make a move. Like, it wouldn't be a bad move to make if that's the only move
that
we can make as far as giving up any major prospects. Or whatever.
So, right. Yeah. He's just not a guy for me that really moves the needle that much. The guy that moves the needle for me, and this is a report that made me happy the other day. John Heyman reports the Phillies and Padres among many teams interested in Stephen Kwan. That's the guy I think you need. Like, you need an impact bat. Stephen Kwan, he's not a right-handed power guy, so it's not like he's going to immediately, you know, solve all your problems. Not like it's the perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a difference maker, man. Like, you trade for him, you put him in left field, he can be your leadoff hitter. Trey Turner then hits second. Then you have Harper, Schwarber, 3-4. That's the guy I want.
Yeah, that's the guy you're excited. Like that. That's the guy you're excited about. And then you talk about the control that you're going to have if you get him. You're going to have him for a little while. But the question is, how much are you willing to give up for him?
That is the question. You know? This is the thing. And this is really, and we talked about it a couple weeks ago when we worked together, and we've been talking about it really all month. What it feels more and more about, what it's going to come down to with this trade deadline, are the Phillies going to be willing to trade Andrew Painter or not?
That's
what it's going to be, man. I mean, yes, you have other good prospects, but if you really want these top names that are out there, the other team's going to want Andrew Painter. Bottom line, he's the best prospect you have. He's one of the best prospects in baseball right now. And want to know, would you trade Andrew Painter for a real piece to impact this lineup? 215-592-9494. I would, and I do it for Kwan. I consider doing it for a guy like Byron Buxton, but you need to commit to this team. And I know we've been talking about this for the last few weeks, but the more I watch them play and the more I see this rotation and the more I see Bryce Harper, you know, being back to being Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber in the midst of what I think is a legitimate, you know, MVP caliber season now, you need to take advantage. You need to go get a piece, Hugh, even if that costs you Andrew Painter. Where do you fall on it?
I don't know if I'm willing to sacrifice my future to go out there and get a piece. I mean, because that's what basically what we're talking about. You're talking about going to get a big name to make you feel better.
Make the team better.
Yeah, make the team better. But what are you sacrificing to do that? You're sacrificing your future. I want to make a move that's going to make the team better, but I don't want to put myself in purgatory over the next couple of years, because I think that's what they're weighing this against.
Yeah, and that's a fair opinion. I just don't think that, like, trading guys like that necessarily means that you are throwing away your future. And I'm worried that decisions of the past and things that have happened that have no relevance to now are impacting the Phillies' thinking. And this was John Middleton a few days ago talking to the media and talking about, you know, the dangers of trading top prospects at the deadline.
If you go back to like 9, 10, and 11 for us, when Ruben was the general manager, he did an extraordinary job. You know, got Cliff Lee in 09 at the trade deadline, added Pedro shortly after that. You know, after 09 season, in the offseason, he brought in Roy Halladay, extended him, you know, brought in Roy Oswalt in 10 at the trading deadline, re-signed Cliff, you know, after 10 during the offseason, brought in Hunter Pence. Every move he made, it was an A-plus move. And every player that he brought in performed at a very high level. And we still lost. You know, and not only did we not win the World Series, but we exited every year one round earlier than the year before. And then, by, you know, so if you kind of empty the cupboard, you can do everything right and you still don't win. It's a bad call, it's a bad break, you know, a bad bounce of a ball. It's some guy who just gets ridiculously hot and on the other team and beat you. So those things, you have to take that, you have to weigh all that, because we're going to be playing baseball in 5 or 10 years from now, right?
Yeah.
And we want the fans to be excited about the team five or ten years from now. And to do that, you can't just trade everybody.
Like, I just don't get, why is what happened 15 years ago factoring into the decision now?
I wasn't here, TK. I wasn't here. But the Odubel Herrera era?
It was bad era.
Yeah. And I remember people talking about ticket sales and nobody going to the game. Now, if you got a house as nice as that one and you don't have any visitors, and then all of a sudden you go to having it like sold out all the time, you don't want to go back to not having any visitors.
I agree, but the misnomer about that is, like, that was not because of the trades the Phillies made during those eras. Like, all the guys they traded didn't turn out to be anything. The problem was they didn't develop guys in their farm system. Now, if you're really confident in your organization, mm-hmm. you're really confident in the way you can kind of nurture and develop talent, then you should believe that the guys you trade away, you can replenish. Because that's what killed the Phillies back then. None of the guys they traded in 09, 10, 11 turned out to be anything. They traded Carlos Carrasco as like a mid-rotation starter. Travis d'Arnaud was like a serviceable catcher. Other than that, all the guys flamed out that they traded. So I don't think that should be the thinking. And also with Middleton, you know, he talked about moving guys to the bullpen. And his reference was, oh, well, we might not need bullpen pieces. Because in 2006, the Cardinals moved Adam Wainwright to the bullpen, and that really helped them. Why are we using examples from like 20 years ago for what you're going to do this year? It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it. What do you think, Kyle?
Well, I don't know if that didn't really signal to me that they're not going to make a move. I think the purpose of that statement was to more be like, you know, even if we do make this big move, it doesn't guarantee us winning the World Series.
Of course.
And I don't think he's right.
Why would you say that, though? I mean, I don't think in the position that you're in, you should always have
the
fan base hopeful.
Well, but you don't want to get their hopes up. Like, I think it's a worse look for Middleton if he, I mean, I don't know. Do you want the fans? With high expectations comes great disappointment if they don't reach it, right?
The fans are going to be mad either way, though.
Let me ask you this.
Well, that's true.
So when you say the cupboard is bare, I'm ad-libbing a little bit, and I'm going to push all in order to win World Series. Mm-hmm. And then you come back and say what you said. What do you think the fan base is thinking about you?
Well, I think what the fan base is thinking is pretty much exactly what your guys' read on it just was, is that what are you trying to soften soften the landing if we don't like that? And I get it. That's not the way that I viewed what he was saying. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like, I was pretty firm on the Andrew Painter's off the table thing. But like, I think
on the table. Put him on the table, Kyle. Put him on.
I'm putting him on the table.
Put him on.
Because I won't do it for a closer. I think I'm just like philosophically against trading a guy who could potentially be an ace starter for a guy that's a closer. It's such a year-to-year thing, up and down.
I'm there too.
I wouldn't do that. When you throw a guy out there like Stephen Kwan, who's like an impact bat, and he's still young and controllable, that sweetens the deal a little bit for me, like where he becomes a piece of your team for the next few years, and he has that kind of impact both this year and beyond. That's somebody that I consider it for. So I think in that sense, I'd put him on the table.
And I hope, I really genuinely hope your read is right. I feel like they are softening the blow. Like, I don't think this is, I think this is going to be another kind of uninspiring trade deadline. I don't think they're going to do a lot. I hope I'm wrong, because they need somebody. Like, they need somebody. And again, man, like, I just keep coming back to, you cannot waste this rotation. Like, you cannot waste a year where you have two guys in Wheeler and Sanchez legitimately in the Cy Young race right now.
Like, yeah, I think they kind of feel that way too, but it's what do we have to do in order to put us in position to be successful? Like,
trade
that.
Andrew Painter. Trade Andrew Painter. Mm-hmm. Go make the move. Do the deal. Get Stephen Kwan to Philadelphia. 215-592-9494, but want to know, would you trade Andrew Painter if that's the only way the Phillies can significantly upgrade this lineup? I would. Kyle would. Hugh, not ready to put Painter on the table yet. 215-592-9494. You want to get in on the Phillies, you're welcome to, as well as the Eagles. Do you believe this team is still in a tier of their own entering this season? Bad movies for Tri-Day, plus when we get back, a very interesting email that the Eagles sent to season ticket holders, and something we cannot let happen as Philadelphians in this city. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today on a Tri-Day Friday heading into the weekend. Man, Phil's Yankees. There's something fun about that kind of series.
Yeah, I
Yankee
remember
Stadium.
When in the World Series, going up there, hanging out with my man John Belairs.
Okay,
it was like the subway thing. It was pretty cool.
There you go. You were still here.
Yeah, I was here when that happened. Yeah, I was here.
Okay, yeah,
hanging
that was
in New York.
That was a disappointing series, man. They should have won that one. That was a bad one. Well, you got any stories you want to tell?
No, John, ahead, just, John know a lot of people. Shout out to John Belairs.
There you go.
Balling ass condo though.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was nice.
Okay, you going to go up to any of these games? Have you in for tickets?
I don't know. I mean, that was his friends. I don't know them. Well, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, it was a nice-ass condo. Like, man, right off the water, it was baller.
We know one of the Yankees broadcasters. You want a ticket? Ooh. Ricky will get you a ticket. Ricky Ricardo.
He does we can get tickets?
Yeah, Ricky does the Spanish language broadcast for the Yankees.
I'm not a big New York guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Because you go in New York, you're breaking bread.
You lived there for a few years, didn't you?
Dude,
what was that community that you lived in again?
I lived in
a community?
I lived in a Jewish community. That they didn't want me there. I didn't realize. I was telling Kyle the story. They really didn't want me to stay there, but I was too naive not to understand.
I didn't want you there.
Yeah, they didn't want me there. I have no clue.
A little diversity?
No, dude.
That's where Rabbi Douglas came from.
Yeah, okay.
They did not want me there, but they allowed me to stay there. Then when I left, right, some friends of mine whose names I will not use, though, they had a barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And they had the barbecue in the front lawn. They were not happy.
What?
Nah, there's a little, you know, like a lot of people, like everybody's not gonna get it, but some people will. Like in the South, a lot of times, folks like to barbecue on the front lawn.
Okay,
you know, and park the cars in the front and everything. Uh-huh. So you could just imagine in Merrick, New York.
Okay, I'm visualizing.
You know, like a bunch of Southern cats with the cars, with the 22-inch rims and everything, and all the other stuff barbecuing on the front lawn in a Jewish community. That dog did not hunt.
That did not.
Yeah, because I was here. Like, I got traded, right? But I still had my lease, so I was still paying, and they were still staying there. I had got traded to Philly.
Yeah.
So the people calling me like, what are you doing? Like, they were going off. And I'm like, hey, I'm not there.
Yeah.
And they immediately, like after that, they immediately let me out of my lease. They kicked everybody out. They were like, y'all, you people got to go.
Well, that's an that's an easy way to get out of your lease.
Yeah, they got
though.
Me out. They let me go. They was like, get your ass up out of here.
That's a great story. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. A lot of things on the table today. Do you think the Eagles are in a tier of their own entering this season? Or do they need to prove it again? I think they need to prove it again. Think they've come back to the pack a little bit. Do you agree? Also with the Phillies. It's bleep or get off the pot time with the Phils. Are you going to trade Andrew Painter or not? This is what it comes down to. That's the only way I think they're going to be able to make a real meaningful addition, is they're going to need to trade Andrew Painter. I don't want to trade him. Like, I'd kinda love to keep
like
him. I don't want to. In a perfect world, you could get what you need, not trade
him. Liar.
But I don't think you can.
It doesn't sound like you do.
We
don't use those aggressive words around these
people. You can call me a liar, Hugh. I don't care. I'm not sensitive. So you can call me a liar.
We get very aggressive on the show, Hugh.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Get the hell out of here.
Can't have thin skin on this one.
You know what? Shut up.
So would you trade Andrew Painter in our Tri-Day today? Bad movie. Give us a Tri-Day Friday bad movie today. Happy Gilmore 2 coming out tonight. Or already out, I guess, but that's our inspiration for Tri-Day Friday today. 215-592-9494. In a few minutes, we will get to an interesting email that the Eagles sent out to season ticket holders last night. That's coming up. First, let's go back to the phones. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Will.
Hey, gentlemen, how y'all doing today?
All right, and you? How you doing?
All right. Listen, like, what I want to see from the Eagles, like, I think since we got a younger core of defense, I would like to see more blitz patches in. Like force the quarterbacks to throw, you know, faster. As far as like with the formations, different formations, bring back the high formation, probably split backs since we got AJ Dillon. Just like give a different look for, you know, a new season, you know, and like I say, it's a statement season this season. So I just would like to see them incorporate some of them things.
Well, yeah, what about throwing the ball a little bit more, Will? It sounds like you're kind of on my side here.
Absolutely. You know, we got the weaponry, right? And the whole thing is, like, Dotson, I keep saying this a lot about him, man. I think he's underrated, and I think he's going to see – I think he's going to get more touches this season. And I think, you know, I think they're going to open up more passing this season. You know, it was more running last season. Like I said, we needed that last season, and that's what got us over the hump, and that's what got us the Super Bowl. You know, like I kept saying, you know, I wanted Derrick Henry here, but, you know, they got Saquon, and they did what they needed to do. But I think it's going to be more passing because I think this is a statement season. So Jalen could put everybody, you know, talking and saying that he's not an elite quarterback the rest.
Yeah, I hear you, Will. What do you got for a Tri-Day Friday movie for us today?
Hey, listen, man, the worst movie I've ever seen, and, you know, you may want to try it, but it was crazy. How about Pootie Tang?
Yeah, Pootie Tang was
appreciate
funny.
The call. I've never
Sadate.
I've never seen it.
Sign my pity on the running kind. Yeah, because everybody tried to talk like Pootie Tang.
You ever seen that movie, Kyle? Pootie Tang?
No.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's he had a belt.
You seemed offended. Kyle seemed like offended by the question.
Yeah, I've never even heard of it.
It was a bad movie.
I'm sure. It sounds horrendous.
He was a character. Pootie Tang was a character on the Chris Rock show. And he would say stuff where you didn't really understand what he was saying. He would say Sadate. Like, sign my pity on the runny kind and stuff like that.
Okay.
That's how he would talk. He was like, what's up, my dang Nammy? And stuff like, yeah.
Okay.
Like, everybody's looking at me. I'm talking to y'all. Y'all have
well, it
no
sounds
clue
like a bad movie. It definitely sounds
about.
Like a bad movie.
It was like, if you ever seen the Chris Rock show when he was on, he had a show that came, I think it was HBO, a late night show. If you ever saw that, you would get the gist of who Pootie Tang was.
Okay.
Yeah. But maybe. It was pretty funny. But they tried to. They tried to make it into a movie, and the movie was horrible.
Well,
the movie was horrible.
Maybe I'll try it for Tri-Day Friday. Let's go to Chris and Ambler. What's up, Chris?
Hey.
What's up, Chris?
First-time caller. Really enjoy you guys' conversation. So
I just wanted to bring up something. As you talk about the Phillies winning the championship this year, the World Series, I've been alive for 66 years, so I've seen 8 total championships in Philadelphia. 2 when I was in high school with the Flyers. I saw the Sixers in 66 and 82, right? And the 2 Super Bowls that the Eagles have won. It's really hard to win, right? So this year, the Phillies have an opportunity to win, right? They have the starting rotation. They have the hitting. You know, they need to do something to plug. They're platooning in left field. They're platooning in center field. It's not a good formula for success. So they got to make a move. And at the end of the day, Andrew Painter is a prospect. He's a prospect. We've seen prospects, you know, do well, and we've seen them fail. And so at this point, if there's value for him, and I would put Crawford on the table too, actually. And, you know, we at the end of this year, we might lose JT. We might lose Schwarber. We might lose Ranger. We have a lot of pieces that could fall off the table. So I would put Andrew Painter on the table and get somebody here in the next week.
Yeah, Chris, and I think that's what the Phillies are going to need to decide, because that's the only way in my mind they're getting a difference maker. Like, I think, you know, Crawford, Aiden Miller, we talk about these guys, Mick Abel, they're decent prospects. They're not the kind of prospect that is going to, you know, push an organization to trade a guy like a Stephen Kwan. It's just not going to happen. So I feel like if you really want to improve this team, you really want to fix your lineup, you're going to need to commit. And by commit, I think that means trading Payne.
Yeah, and by the way, Painter's getting blown up in AAA, too. I'm not seeing anything that, you know, right now.
Well, he had a good start last night. He had a good outing last night. I think he went 6 innings, gave up 1 or 2 runs last night.
Yeah. So, and he's coming off an injury. I'll give him that. But, you know, I just think this is now's the time.
Yeah, I agree, Chris. What do you got for a Tri-Day Friday bad movie?
I'll just say one that I couldn't get through. The English Patient.
Appreciate the call, Chris. I thought that was a good movie.
It's not on my.
I mean, I'd have no interest in it. But
not what on is
it
Tubi. About?
It's not on.
It's
Tubi.
About an English patient.
It's about a patient.
He's a patient who's English.
Yeah. Well, that was the joke in Seinfeld. Is everybody thought it was a great movie, and like Elaine thought it was terrible.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember it from Seinfeld. I've never seen it, though.
Yeah, I've never seen it. No interest.
It's a love affair movie.
A love affair? Isn't it super
long? A badly
long?
Burned man.
It's like 3 hours long or something?
Sent it to by a nurse, Hannah, in an Italian monastery near the end of
two
World
hours
War
II. And 40 minutes.
Oh, my
Jesus.
God.
Past is revealed through flashbacks involving a married English woman.
Yeah, read the whole thing.
This is not... And it's not enticing to me.
Okay.
It doesn't make me feel like I need to watch it.
I think I'd rather try to watch Pootie Tang than watch the English.
It has its moments. Pootie Tang has its funny moments, but you probably wouldn't be able to get through that one.
Okay.
I think TK has to stop saying Pootie Tang.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah.
Why? Pootie Tang.
It doesn't sound right coming from TK.
It sounds okay. What do you mean by that, Kyle?
Why are we trying to limit TK's vocabulary?
Yeah. You can sound, say it, and
don't
I can't
right.
say it.
I can't say it either.
Pootie Tang? What's wrong with Pootie Tang?
The name of a movie.
What does it sound like?
All right.
Do we have to have this conversation off air?
215-592.
Slather Vaseline on me.
Okay,
I got you.
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But I do want to get to an email last night.
You got an email? You still open your email?
I didn't get this email. I'm not an Eagles season ticket holder.
Well, look, good thing I said it Friday when hardly anybody's here, because I ain't read my email in years.
Check
your
work email.
You probably got a lot of show rundowns in that email that are unopened.
Yeah. Check your work email. Dude.
Only
Jeez.
Ones that do is the HR ones when they say, hey, you need to do these compliance training. You got to do compliance training. That's it.
Yeah.
And once I do that, then I'm good.
All right. Well, make sure you check your email a little more. But last night, the Eagles sent an email out to season ticket holders where they wanted to gauge interest. And they had two options for season ticket holders. And check Elliot's Twitter out to see the full email here. But it basically asked fans if they wanted renovations to the stadium or a new stadium. And they gave two options to fans. Take the renovation survey or take the new stadium survey. And in the renovation survey, it talks about things like improve parking, pedestrian access, enhance tailgating, stuff like that. But the more interesting thing is gauging interest in a new stadium. And one of the things that it asked was, what kind of stadium would you want? An open-air stadium, open-air covered, which I guess means a retractable roof, a fully closed stadium, a stadium with a roof on top, but it's natural light. But the thing that's interesting is the Eagles are obviously, I think, trying to nudge their fans to wanting a new stadium here. And I'll just say this. I'm anti-new stadium altogether. I think the link is fine. I don't see any need for the Eagles to get a new building. Yes, it's 20-plus years old. That stadium is still...
That's crazy, 20 years old.
Yeah, 2003 was the first year. So, like, 23 years old at this point. But the stadium's fine. Like, I don't think they need a new stadium. But I'll say this. If they get a new stadium, no way in hell can that be a dome stadium. No chance. It would be an affront to Philadelphia. It would be an affront to the city. It would be terrible. This is we're supposed to be a football town. You know where you play football? You play football outside. You play football in the elements. Look at last year in the playoffs. We watched that Eagles-Rams game. One of the most memorable games in Eagles history. You know why? Obviously, great ending. But that game was played in the snow. That was an incredible extra element to that game. A dome would be a catastrophe. It would be a horrible idea. I think we need to protest this at all costs. No dome whatsoever. I'm anti-dome. Where are you, Hugh? You got to be with me on this. I mean, this is pretty easy one here.
What? Hey, listen. hear me out. Hear me out. You know, since I've been here, me and Ike have done, you know, we've done the pregame show.
Okay.
Some days out there, man, it's pretty brick.
Come on, Hugh. Listen, you can't do this.
I hear what you're saying, and I understand to a certain extent. Now, 20-something-year-old Hugh Douglas would be against the dome, right? He would be against that.
Yeah, this is.
But 50-year-old Hugh Douglas, man, listen.
You're pro dome?
You're not playing in it.
I don't have a coat. Well, shout out to Jack Daniels.
That's a you problem.
They gave me a coat the other day that I was going to wear the other day, but it was too hot. They gave me a coat. But I wouldn't mind being in a nice little, like, environment where the climate is controlled.
You can't sit outside for 2 hours for the greater good?
I'm just saying, man. It's cold outside. It's cold. And how much? Listen, let me just ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
How exciting was it for the city of Philadelphia to have the draft party here?
The draft was awesome when we
how
had
was
it here.
Like the city was packed. We got a chance to show how great we are, the great food places that we have here.
And you know where
the great
we did it? We
culture
did it. We did it outside.
That we have here. Don't you want to have that same atmosphere for a Super Bowl? Like, because that's
no,
what we're talking about.
I don't care about like, hosting
care.
A Super Bowl.
I don't
See,
care.
Wait a minute,
no.
Hold up. This is where we have to have vision. Y'all ain't got the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all
doesn't
need
help
vision.
That I'm blind.
If like, look at all these northern places that have gotten Super Bowls, and we're getting passed up for.
I don't want a Super Bowl. I don't care about a Super Bowl.
I would rather have a football game in the elements than a Super Bowl.
Wait a minute, time out. We're in the business of making money, right?
No, yeah, not me. None of this goes to me.
Money.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. I like how you said it with a straight face.
Yeah, we're not getting it.
No, we're not.
We're not in the business of making money off the stadium.
We are trying.
We're probably going to have to pay for it to get built.
Let's be honest. Let's be honest with this here.
We need a Super Bowl here, man.
This isn't about.
We need a Super Bowl.
That's not what it's about.
What is it about?
This is about you not wanting to sit outside for 2 hours to do a pregame show.
It'd be cold outside.
That's all this is about. You don't care about a Super Bowl.
My feet. Be cold. Yeah, I would.
Come
I would
on,
love.
You?
Listen, it's gonna take a couple years to build.
So savor. You have a couple more years to savor it.
But see, here's the thing: if we got a dome, right? Where are we putting it? Where are we gonna put the stadium?
They're gonna put the dome on top of the stadium.
I don't think structurally
that's where domes go.
But I think one of the things they asked is how far would you go to an Eagles game?
Yeah.
No, my point is this, Kyle. They're looking to build a new stadium. They're not looking to renovate. So where are they going to put the new stadium? That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. That's going to be an interesting part of it, too.
And wait a minute. Didn't the email say something about How far are you willing to drive?
It asks how far you'd be willing to travel to go to an Eagles game.
So okay, what's the answer?
They're testing
how far are we going? How far are we going?
I don't want to go any further than I already go. The sports complex.
I like it in South Philly. Yeah.
That's where the Eagles Stadium belongs.
Where are we going to park, though? That's like.
Can you stop being selfish for a second?
Yeah. My God. Can he stop thinking about himself for 1 minute?
As Eagles fans, we have to be anti-dome.
Yeah. No, first of all.
Say no to dome.
I guarantee you.
No dome for me.
I guarantee you that I am not the only one that feels this way. I guarantee you. And it might be some younger
people. You're probably in a small minority.
No, I'm in the majority.
No, you're not.
I'm in the majority. Yes, I am.
Are we seeing a theme here with Hugh and Elliot? Just very
selfish. Yeah.
Yeah, very very selfish thinking. They just don't want to sit outside for the pregame show.
I'm not being selfish, man. It's cold out there.
You're thinking about the money that Lori's going to make hosting a Super Bowl. Listen, who gives a crap?
That's going to be coming out of our pockets.
No, all I remember is how the station, when I first got here, they prostituted me. They made me put on a Santa outfit and stand outside in the cold ass weather and shake hands and kiss babies. When I first got here, low man on the totem pole, I had to do that yeoman's work.
Yeah. I would have rolled
him. It was cold outside, man. I ain't trying to be outside like
Come
that.
On, see, okay, so now everyone needs to know that he was looking at this from a purely selfish perspective, but we, as Eagles fans, with the power vested in us,
we got to say
if you receive this email and you are a season ticket
holder
and you get a vote, vote no to dome.
Vote
say
yes
no to dome.
To the dome.
No, Hugh. Yeah.
No dome. Cold.
Listen. I'm talking to
you
the
have
ladies.
To stop it right now.
I'm just talking to the ladies.
What?
For a minute. Just think of ladies, listen. Think about all the nice, cuter outfits you could wear to the Eagles game and the nice shoes that you won't be messing up in the snow sitting outside.
That's what September's
for. You could wear your cute outfits to the game with your little jersey, with your little sequins on them and everything.
That's what September's for, man.
And fellas, look at it like this. Look at it like this. You don't have to drink. You won't have to drink as much alcohol to stay warm. You won't have to.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
Because it won't be. Because we're going to be. Are you pro-dome or anti-dome?
We are going to be in a climate-controlled environment. Think about it.
This is your worst opinion ever. This is terrible.
No,
this is very disappointing.
Okay, is it going to be retractable? Can we have it
That's
retractable?
That's one of the options.
But hold on.
But
the whole point of the retractable is if there's bad weather, they're going to close it.
But right. No, I just thought about something because one of the greatest moments in Eagles history was Shady McCoy to snow game.
Yeah, the last year in the playoffs, that snow game.
But I'm willing to forego that.
No!
That is an awful opinion! I mean, the snow is great for football. Should be played in the snow!
First of all, we just had a whole conversation about personal attacks on opinions, and we just blew past all of that.
Well,
yes.
And made it personal.
This deserves to be a personal attack. This is a that bad of an opinion.
I am not. I'm not opposed to having a dome. I'm not.
I'm
and if
so
you want a little bit of snow, we'll open it up a little bit, and then we'll close it.
They're not going to take it. Close it. Just
get a little bit of the snow,
and then close it.
And then close it. For all those people that want nostalgia.
I want to know for people out there, are you pro or anti-dome?
Say no to dome.
Say no to dome. Say no to dome. That's what we're doing.
Say
today.
No to dome.
Yeah, we're saying no to dome. I'm saying no to dome. Kyle's saying no to dome. Hugh, right. Of course, is saying yes to dome.
Yes.
215.
Hell yeah.
215. Hugh wants the dome, man.
592-9494. If you want to get in, let us know your feelings on the great dome debate of 2025.
It's Friday, boy. It is Friday.
Do you want a dome on the Eagles Stadium? Are the Eagles in a tier of their own? And if you want to get in on the Phillies, would you trade Andrew Painter if it means that's the only way that you can improve this team? When we get back, we will finish the Phillies blind date with trade candidate. That's coming up next. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.